Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I recap UFC 218. We find out who had the better picks. I don't want to give anything away. It was a destruction. And the great Paul Felder calls in.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Jimmy. What was that?
Can you spray this?
Yeah, sure.
I hate talking into these
mics.
What
happened, Jimmy? I thought you made a face like that because I was singing my little Jimmy song.
No, that's the only reason I'm happy. I like these things. I hate the smell of someone else's mic. It's mine, fucking disgusting. Yeah,
mine does not smell bad today. It has smelled bad in the past.
It's fucking horrible.
Look at Jimmy's making a bad face like he went down somewhere that's really bad.
That I would enjoy. I would enjoy that.
Not if it's not bad hygiene. I'm a hygienic person.
I'm into, if I like someone, if I'm into someone, a bad hygiene's okay. But if I'm not into them, it's disgusting.
There's no time. I don't like that bad hygiene. Even myself, like if I sweat or something, like I'm always put. I've got to give the mic a hand job there, Christopher.
It really was amazing.
The fuck
I want to slip Chris a 50.
What did I just look at?
Chris, the way Chris handled that mic with both hands.
He just gave that fuck. He gave Chris the producer went to clean the mic and he gave it a happy ending.
A man who's done that the first time. That's not the first time he's done
it. What was I looking at?
Not at all. He spit in his hand. Did you see that?
Does he handle himself like that?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Anyway.
Thank you.
Listen, Jimmy, I was in Vegas, Jimmy.
Oh, did you go to the fights?
No.
Oh, Detroit. That's right. They were in Detroit.
Excuse me. Oh, somebody got mad that I burped in the microphone. Oh, could you please not burp? I'm not trying to, Jimmy.
Can't help it.
I can't. I mean, it's just by the time I get the button, the ship has sailed.
It's already out.
Okay. Besides, I told you I roll before I get here, and I think that moves things around.
Yeah, it probably does.
What was I saying, Jimmy?
I don't know. You were talking about being in Vegas.
Yeah, man, Vegas.
And you were not able to go to the car to see this?
No. I was in and out like a ninja. I went after the podcast last week, and then I took the red eye back on Friday night because my buddy Frankie Bam Bam, I'm the godfather to his kid, and he had one of those showers because it was on Saturday, so I had to get back, so I took the red eye. He had a shower for my godson that'll be here in like a month. But he had one of those showers that the guys go to, which I thought was a little weird. I love him, but and you know I'm excited and I support him, but I never went to a shower. It's usually for the chicks.
How long were you in the in Vegas for? 2 days?
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. Yeah.
Did you see the boss?
I did see Dana.
Is he looking to replace me?
I'm not saying you might be in trouble, but if my eyebrows raised, just you know,
all right, make sure he didn't make any comments.
No, Dana's.
He didn't say anything like us. How's Norton? Is it working out?
No,
it's like in Goodfellas, and just like that, I knew Maury was dead.
Yeah. No, it went well. Everything went good. I did a little, it's kind of weird when you do, like, I never really did the acting thing, Jimmy. I know you do that a lot. You're an actor, Jimmy. You're not just a comedic actor, you're an actor.
Hold on, I'll show you one of my great ones. Your Honor, I'd like to talk.
Did you ever use that in a movie?
Thanks very much.
Did you ever use that in a movie?
Appreciate that.
You're lucky. I mean, I'm not too quick with the boo button right now. I'm easy. No, that was good.
There's a courtroom drama I'm writing.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Your Honor, I'd Like to Talk. That's right. That's the line.
And then you're gonna say the line in the movie.
That's right. Many times.
Well, listen, I want to hear the plot of that. But anyway.
So you do a
Jimmy,
little acting?
Well, no, listen. It's kind of weird because it's not acting if you're... It is acting, But at the same time, like, you know, there's a director there. They're saying cut and everything else. But I was being...
Hope that's what they were saying.
I was playing myself, Jimmy.
That's, of course.
So it's not that much of an... It's not like
playing
I
Matt or a guy who acts like Matt?
No, I'm playing me.
Okay. Well, that's it's not as easy as you think.
I don't want to say Matt Serra because it's weird saying your name and doing the third person thing. But yeah.
Okay.
I'm playing myself.
That's good.
And what I... Now, there's a new movie coming out on Netflix called Bright with Will Smith.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me from seeing the trailer a little bit. It's definitely different. But the first glance kind of reminds me of that old James Caan movie with Alien Nation when he had the alien partner. Did you ever see that? No. Could you watch some fucking movies, Jimmy?
Busy.
It's an old movie, but it's great. Did you ever see Alien Nation, Chris the Producer?
You know, I haven't.
All right,
actually,
good for the... Thanks for the backup. Can anybody... Anyway.
Oh, listen. Alien Nation.
Huh?
Alien Nation.
Alien Nation.
Yes.
You know you did not.
It's like alien to be alienated. Alien Nation. It's a play on words.
No.
Oh.
No. It was all right. Well, listen. It's not about. It's not that. But it's. It reminded me of that when I saw the commercial. But,
oh, did you ever see Taboo 2, directed by Curtis Stevens?
No.
Oh, see how that feels. See how that hurts.
Is that a real film?
Of course it is.
Is it a porno?
1982.
Porno.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
K. Parker.
I don't watch the classic pornos.
Kevin James, but not the comedian, the actual porn actor. Kevin James.
Oh, okay.
Different guy.
I thought it was my buddy
now.
Ray Longo's.
No, different guy.
You know, back when Ray Longo used to call me before he became friends with Kevin James.
No, he's busy.
Sorry about playing footsie, Jimmy. It's weird.
Sorry, it's okay. I'm sorry for whatever.
But listen, wait, what the hell was I getting? Oh, Bright, the movie Bright.
Sure.
So listen, so it's about basically Will Smith is he's a cop and his partner is an orc. Now, listen to me for a second. Can you listen? It's like the orcs, it sounds funny, but they live amongst like the humans, but they're kind of prejudiced against because they're fucking orcs, you know? And like they look like orcs. They got the pointy ears. So there's that movie with Will Smith, Bright, coming out on Netflix, I think December 22nd. I'm not trying to sell everything. I'm pretty sure that it is.
Maybe we'll get Will in here.
Yeah, hey, listen, I did him a solid by doing this. Not really.
God damn it. Chris, this thing's falling off again.
Dude, what am I looking at?
Hold on.
This what fucking studio stinks.
What just happened?
This thing keeps falling off.
This doesn't happen at your Sirius building, does it?
I thought we have problems.
All right. I'm sure. I'm trying to back you up.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Looks so weird.
Honestly, this has never happened before.
Listen, I don't want to make it an awkward work environment, but grab the back of Chris the producer's head right now. Just see what happens.
Now it's on the section.
No, I can. Yeah, exactly.
No, don't fuck
to be me
too. We're only fucking around, people. Relax. But listen, it was a fun experience, Jimmy. I never did any acting. And again, I know, big deal. It was you acting like yourself.
You got to still do.
They still say, action. And I come in and I'm not going to tell you what I did. And I did improv. You know, a little bit of improv. I always goof on my buddy
Dean Thomas.
Yeah, that guy. Dean Thomas. And, you know, I basically approached this thing like a little Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Sure.
Where there were certain lines they wanted me to get in, but then otherwise just be myself.
They're giving you a lot of leeway. Hey, just make sure you say this, this, and this, but do it how you want to do it.
But we want you to be you. And it was a very, you know what I'm happy about with my life?
What?
Is that I get to do a lot of very interesting things.
As Matt Serra.
Every gig I have... It's being me.
Yeah.
Whether I'm doing the show with Dana, whether what else am I doing? This thing with you.
It's true. Or the movie.
Oh, that movie, Jimmy. Well, that movie just fell in my lap. It was a little thing. But it was fun. And the director, the dude Kennedy, I want him to come in here. He used to be of the show. What a nice dude, you know? And they made it a very pleasant experience for me.
That's great.
Looking at Chris the producer. You want to hear the rest of my story really quick?
Yeah.
Stop looking at the fucking clock. I asked him, you want to hear the story? He should have just said yes. And what he did, he goes, we can't even sober at the fuck. Relax. Well, we got plenty of time.
You know why, though? Because I got yelled at for talking about the fights before.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to shut up about
I
that.
Know, I want to talk about it.
Well, Chris, you know that, Jimmy. Yeah.
Always.
I like enthusiasm, but save it
by the way, I have not seen the Ngannou Overeem fight, so don't blow the results.
Let me just give a shout out to my buddy Tim. And I'm now being a dick because I forgot his last name. But anytime I hung out with this guy, he was already
Tim
in
Roth?
Makeup. It's not Tim Roth.
Okay.
I don't want to give nothing away with the plot. But anyway, he played...
an orc fighter.
He was in... motherfucker. He was in Winter Soldier. And it is a scene, an elevator fight scene with Captain America when they go... He's at the secret headquarters. Not secret. He's at the fucking... what's the fucking SHIELD headquarters? And they go to fucking jump him. Frank Grillo and a bunch of SHIELD agents. And he's like the big dude in the elevator who goes on like the third floor. Let's talk about the fights.
I never saw Captain America.
It's such a good movie. Oh.
I heard it's good.
Jimmy,
does Chris
Winter
Evans
Soldier,
play him?
Winter Soldier.
I like Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, he does play him, and he plays him well.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier, you would like it. It has Robert Redford in it.
That guy's dreamy. Do you ever see A River Runs Through It?
The Natural?
Oh, that guy's the... Do you ever see All the President's Men?
No.
Oh, that guy's dreamy.
I don't like movies, but I like... I don't like... I don't like sports movies, but I like...
Indecent Proposal?
Yeah.
$1 million to fuck Demi Moore? What a great question.
That was awesome. And then it kind of ruined the marriage.
Of course it did, because he goes to stop them, and they're already on the boat, and she said it was a good fuck.
The worst is when she said it was great, like good, like she really enjoyed it. Because then Woody's like, what? What did he do? And then you start thinking, what did that old man do?
$1 million. And then she starts dating the old man.
Yeah.
That bitch.
So how many times did she fucking...
Fucked him a lot. He got his money's worth. Probably $200,000 a pop if he banged her 5 times.
Yeah. And then he said, she'll never look at me the way she looked at him. But, you know, But he said that to the driver after. He goes, why'd you let it go and make up that thing about the Mile High Club, whatever he said. I made some shit up. He didn't make say that. But he already did this a bunch before to the driver. And then they pulled over and she knew that he was bullshit. He's basically wanted her to go back to Woody Harris.
But she wanted to stay with him though, right? The fucking billionaire. I don't blame her.
Yeah. No, no, she didn't want to. Oh, I don't think she was.
Wait, and Woody Harrison took her back, that cuck? Jesus, your fucking vagina tastes like a change purse now. Fucking from having money shoved in it.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Woody was a cuck.
Sure he was. She's telling him all about it. And he's whacking off under the sheets behind the pillows. Oh.
Can we talk about the fight, Jimmy?
I would hope so.
Holy shit.
Woody's a cuck.
Jimmy's fucking too fucking funny.
On a boat. He fucks on a boat. Imagine.
Did you ever see this movie?
Yes,
Indecent Proposal. Dude, fucking
that boat's going around.
You're
like, oh no.
Oh, fucking Robin Redford knows how to fuck.
Yeah, of course.
What's going on?
Did she say it was great, right? She was
She's like, he's like, tell me, was it good? Was it good? She's like, it was fucking fantastic. She said something like that. Something better than
incredible.
Good. It was she loved it. It was orgasmic. And then poor Woody's just like, he's probably hoping he had like a half hard like penis. And
what a dope she was. I would have said, no, it wasn't. It was.
She should have lied. Yeah. But, you know, she couldn't lie. He was that. Robert Redford was that good. But anyway, he was in Winter Soldier. Good. Now let's talk business. Okay. Not monkey business, fight business.
Yes.
Now listen.
I'll tell you one thing that'd be horrifying. If your wife's going to get laid and you see she's on a boat with Francis Ngannou, and you're like, oh no, she's never going to be the same. Oh no.
Now listen, I don't want to be. Now people say that I could be a little like biased and stuff and talk with my heart, but I know like maybe it's because we bonded and he was in here. And people think maybe that's because, you know, that's making my mind up with this. But I thought that that fight with Alice Lowe was a little prematurely stopped.
No.
Very funny.
Guys, I'm just kidding. It's a comedy show. A comedy show.
Okay, we'll talk.
All right.
Let's just say.
I'm just kidding. Boo, that's booze for me.
I thought Herb Dean I was terrible that night. And I know Herb's a good ref and all that shit. But that stopped it. I'm forgetting who he stopped. Hold on. Don't even tell
all
me.
Right, let's
let me
talk
just look
about
over
it.
The list that was extraordinarily irritating. The was it the
can I just tell you?
Yes,
it was Sabah Hamasi and Abdul Razak.
Yeah, oh, right. Hamasi. That was on the prelims.
Yeah,
Chris doesn't like that you talked over when he was saying that.
No, it was a fight pass. I was
because Chris knows how to pronounce, Chris the producer knows how to pronounce that name.
That's I watched that on my phone actually before I went on stage. A fight pass that was a terrible
they already rebooked
Razak Al-Hassan. Is that how you say his name?
Yes, Al-Hassan. Yeah.
Hamasi is hit. He drops down. He goes for the leg. And Herb Dean is behind Al-Hassan and he stops the fight. It was a horrendous stoppage. And how can you not? How does that cost the fight of the fight when the referee just fucks up like that? That's so irritating. Guy trains for 3 months. I know the rules are the rules.
Well, you know what it is? It's not fair for the fighter that gets the benefit of that either, because once you feel like the fight is over, you kind of drop your guard, your adrenaline goes away, and then if they were, you know, they can't restart it, then it's just not fair for anybody. But it's
it was a horrible stoppage, horrible job by Herb Dean. He stopped a few, and again, I know their job is to protect the fighters, so I know you'd rather have them err on the side of caution, then let it go too long, because there's been times where, who was it, Big John McCarthy, that Roy Nelson got pissed off at for letting go too, like once in a while a fighter will let a fight go too, a ref lets it go too long, you're like, this guy's getting hurt.
Listen, they ref enough fights, they're gonna, they're only human.
Yeah,
I remember, not the, and this guy I consider, you know, a lot of people consider the best in the business, Big John McCarthy, and
is he better than Keith Peterson? Keith is good too.
Oh, yeah, Keith, you know, I told you before, when we were off here, you know Keith Peterson, did I say this on air, that he grew up around the block from me? Isn't that a small world?
What was his nickname? Huh?
Well, we called him Froggy because he's
that's the similar to what my nickname was.
Was it? What was yours?
Different vowel.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry, it definitely takes me a second. Sometimes I'll listen to some of the episodes again. I go, Jimmy, I missed those jokes with Jimmy. It went right over my head. But anyway, no, with Big John McCarthy, I remember one time Marullo, the great Marullo Bustamante. You might not even know who that is, do you, Jimmy?
No.
Shame. Shame, shame, shame on you.
For a lot of reasons, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fucking... you can say that again, no. But Marullo was a great, great fighter, great jiu-jitsu fighter that... he was the middleweight champion for a while. He was great, man. Yeah. And he mixed up with, you know, he had good boxing and he had beautiful jiu-jitsu. He fought back in the day versus Tom Erickson in the reality, something called Mars Tournament. And the guy was, Tom Erickson's a huge wrestler. And he fought him for 45 minutes with just feet and the hips, not taking any damage. Old school jiu-jitsu guy. I can't say enough about the guy. One of my favorite guys to watch ever. But anyway, he... fought the very tough Matt Lindland. And this is when Matt Lindland, you know who Matt Lindland is. Sure. Matt Lindland, it's funny because I don't know how marketable he was, because he kind of looks like a hillbilly or something. You know, he's got the bald head and he's got the beard, but he was a very, he mixed up, he was a very tough fighter, man. He used to just give guys fits, especially jiu-jitsu guys. But Marullo Bustamante, he got him in a beautiful arm lock and had it almost broke the grip, about to extend it, and then Big John breaks it up before Matt taps. So then he's like, "Oh," and then he's like, "I didn't tap." And then so he had this. He stood him up, and fucking he apologized to Marullo, and he made him fight again. He put them in that. He goes, "Look, man, I'm sorry. You got to fight." He's like, "Why you stopped it?" So it was a similar situation, but he made them continue because he fucked up, and then Marullo ended up getting him, submitting him again with, I believe, a guillotine. So it is pretty wild. He had to fight him basically twice.
Right, but that's part of the problem, right?
But he started him again, is what I'm saying.
I wish Herb Dean would have started him again, just admit that he fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Maybe
it's
even
tough.
Maybe because this happened ages ago.
They might not be allowed to do that.
Maybe,
but
nowadays, maybe things are stricter and shit.
I think Herb Dean has stopped fights more prematurely than I've seen other guys do.
I like Herb.
A friend of mine hates him.
Man.
Oh, he's why? Like, oh, Herb does it again every time he stops
you
a
know
fight.
Why I like Herb, too? I talk comic book movies when I see him.
Look, I'm sure he cares about the fighters, too. Like, he's not trying to.
No, well, and the longer you do it, it probably, you've seen so much, you know the fighters because you've seen them so many times, you're probably maybe a little bit more cautious. But
it was over a decade ago, but he reffed my fight with Chris Lytle in the finale of The Ultimate Fighter, and I finally got Chris down the second we hit the floor. You got to keep moving. And it is only because this sticks out with me. And I actually stood up where Chris is, like, still got the guard locked, and I'm trying to escape my hand. I'm doing it technically. What do you want me, just to flail, like just throw my arms and look? So, I mean, I'm looking to pass the guy's guard. I'm standing up, and he stopped us, and he stood us up. I go, motherfucker.
Right.
But I love Herb, though. But, you know, when you're fighting, something like that is like, dude, really, man? I want to be technical. I want to work. I'm not just holding them. But
well, to that point, that happened in the David Timor Jakar Close fight, which was another, Herb Dean is also reffing that, where Jakar kept dropping his arms, being like, come on to Timor, like, come at me. And Timor, he wasn't necessarily coming forward, but he wasn't going backward. But Herb told him, like, you have to move forward. He kind of gave him a warning, and I was surprised by that also.
Joe Rogan made a big stink about that, and I do agree.
About what?
About the Jakar Close and the Timor fight, the David Timor, yes.
Yep.
I thought David did great.
Yeah.
And I think Jakar was having a hard time. He's getting frustrated, so he started, instead of stalking him down, he starts just putting his arms up and standing there and not moving. And, like, now, you can't invite the guy in just so you can counter-strike him. Like, and make him brawl you. The guy's fighting you. He's kicking him. He was worried. He was landing. It's not like
he
wasn't.
He was working, I thought.
But, so you're getting frustrated. So you, like, it was one point where he kicked him with something where, I believe this was that fight, where he just looked annoyed at him. Like, even Joe, he goes, look like he just got annoyed. He got kicked. He's just like, Like give like a exhale and just like, are you serious? Like he's not making anything happen for himself. So I feel that David Taymor did exactly what he needed to do. I think that Close is a stud. You know what I mean? He's a very dangerous guy. But I thought Taymor never got out of his head. He was actually looking confused at the ref, at Herb, almost like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, which I thought
I'm not against Herb coming in saying, you got to make action. Warn both guys. Like, hey, guys, not much is going on. You guys got to make a fight. But don't just tell the one guy, all right, look, he's standing here with his hands down. You got to go to him. Don't go backwards. What the Who are you to tell me how to fight?
Don't tell me how to fight, right?
You tell me how to fight, man. I'm locked in a cage, dude. You're not getting hit right now. And Herb is a fighter. So that's what's...
Is he a fighter?
He's fought before. I've seen him fight before, sure. But
is he good?
He was all right. You know, I saw him do some, you know, great. He just tried to... I saw him look at the jiu-jitsu. He might be. Now I feel bad. Can you look that up? Yeah. He might be. But he's a really... Listen, again, I like her, but I think he's one of the better refs. But you ref long enough, you're going to have a night where, hey, man, maybe it's just an off night. Sure. You know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I do feel bad for the guy. Hey, listen.
Has Mario been back in? I have not seen him since him and Dana had that thing.
Yeah. It's fun to see what I'm doing with my hands.
It stinks. I hate the heart.
I'm going to do this every time I'm on camera. I'm going to steal Mario Yamasaki's.
Has he been back in the octagon since then?
No. Yes, he has. What am I saying? Ooh, my arm's cramping from doing the
heart. Have him and Dana made up?
I doubt it. I don't think Dana cares what anybody thinks.
He really doesn't, right?
Yeah. I don't think so. I was happy to see him, though.
What did you think about, let's go over the card a little bit.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
I saw somebody, who? John Anik tweeted something about how the guy, it was a bad take. Someone in the Detroit Free Press or whatever, some Detroit writer was saying that it wasn't a great night of fight. And I said, man, how do you say that?
Who said that?
I don't know what his name was. I probably couldn't read the article. It was too annoying.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I thought there were some really good fights. What the fuck was
that? Wait, I was looking at, somebody said 218 wasn't a good night of fight. What are you talking
about? They need
to
do it better when they bring it back. Let's start with the main event.
Yes.
Max Holloway. How are we doing our picks, by the way?
Yeah, well, I have all that information. So, yeah, do we want to just run those down quick, or you want to do it as we go through?
How about as we go through it?
Okay, well, I'll say, so Jim, you won the night. You had 9 out of 15 points.
See, you could have built up to that and given it away.
Jimmy, he did fair and square.
No, don't you give it away at the end, though? Like, you tell who won what, and then you get the end, you give it.
I know who I'm booing. You know what? Chris set this whole game thing up, and then it's time to pull the trigger, and then fucking...
But there's no tension now. Who cares? Like, if we had, like, hey, Matt got this one, I got that one, then you'd be like, oh... All right, you're 6'5", and then we go over each fight.
That probably would have worked better.
You're score. Right.
All right, well, next time we won.
Jimmy, 9 out of 15.
All right, so Jimmy won, everybody. Why even go through it?
No, anyway. Now which ones?
Let's go
through it.
Start the main event. Max Holloway against Jose Aldo. Who picked who? I got that one wrong.
Yes, that's the only one you got wrong. You had Jose Aldo by a decision.
Right there, you gave that away,
He gave that away, too.
Christopher, this is your game!
You really don't allow tension to build. So now we know I got all the other ones right.
Well, yeah.
This? What are you, Herb Dean today with this fucking thing?
I'm off, yeah.
Jimmy, do you realize what just happened with this whole game?
It's literally...
It's his game!
It's the biggest anti-climax.
Fucking... All right, Jimmy. Well, this is the only one you got wrong.
What do you do when you watch The Godfather with someone? As soon as Abe Vigoda comes on, do you go, I can't even watch him knowing he betrays Michael at the end?
Yes, I like to spoil the movie.
What do you do when Sonny first comes on and go, oh my God, you're going to hate it when he gets shot in a little while?
What about eventually you have kids, you show him Empire Strikes Back and go, oh yeah, get this part. That's his father. That's his dad. They got... It's Luke's dad. All right. Try to end it, Jimmy.
All right.
I think
it was Empire Strikes
Back. You did a good job. All right. But anyway.
All right, so I got Jose Aldo wrong.
Well, let's talk about that, though.
Aldo, not kicking. He did kick more.
Kick more.
Than the first fight, but nowhere near what he used to kick. He throws a few kicks here and there. Why is he not throwing kicks?
Why? Because maybe Max didn't give a fuck about the kicks and stayed in his face.
But you can't not, you cannot care about them until you have to care about them. Man. There's no way you're going to take that many Jose Aldo kicks. Max just has a good poker face.
There's that, but there's also Max was shutting him down, and he was in his face, and he was in his face where, oh man, it's like a suffocating feeling where it was getting worse and worse as it was going on, very similar to the last fight, and he doesn't mind being right there in that fight. He must be doing. I mean, his awareness is something else, and his combinations and his return fire. Oh my goodness, man, where. Jose would come at him with a three, bah, 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 three missiles, three bombs.
He's loading up on every punch.
And if he did land anything, Max is rolling with it and then immediately firing back and not letting him take his breath. And he tried to get him off again with a big... So every time he's doing this, that you just see it. You see that energy bar, like in a video game, getting lower and lower. And then it's going to be like, I'm like, dude, how is he going to... And eventually, he's going to crap out, and that's exactly what happened.
In round three, he was literally holding on to Max at the end. That was a weird ending. I just didn't know why he wasn't kicking more. Deja I know Holloway boom. Was crowding him, but there were still times where I'm like, why is he not kicking? And even Rogan was going, I would like to see him throwing some more of those kicks, and he just was not doing it, and I don't know why. It's like, you're not a boxer. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, he's got good hands, too.
Great hands, but I mean, and you're not just going to stay up there. It's not a boxing match.
I started thinking that, too, but then when I watched it the second time, he was trying to land the kicks. He did a few, and Max did, to his credit, he wasn't there for him, man. He wasn't giving him the right angles to hit those kicks. He just wasn't. And then he was in his face, and it got worse as it went on. I predicted TKO and it was almost there. He almost made it out of that round. He was like under 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
And I predicted fourth. TKO in the fourth, but it was a TKO in the third. So I was very close, people. So I want to congratulate myself for that.
How much time was left in that fight?
Let me.
I'm gonna say 8 seconds.
Now Herb stopped that one too, right?
How many seconds?
Yeah, 9 seconds.
Herb Dean. Right.
I don't remember who was the ref for that.
I don't remember either. Actually. Yeah.
So congratulations to Max Holloway, who was just tremendous in that fight.
He looks amazing.
He looks incredible.
25 years old. His head is on straight. You know what I mean? You don't hear. I mean, he's just a fun fighter. He reminds me of like a Diaz brother to some degree, where he's with that high volume with the striking.
Oh yeah.
And he just, as that fight goes on, he gets, and he didn't take that much damage. I mean, the shots he took, he rolled with, like, you know, and oh man, I can't say enough about Max Holloway. I think he's saying it's the blessed era, and I believe him. I think he's going to get problems. I know it's not going to happen. I would love to see him and Connor fight again.
Nah,
it's the last fight he lost. I mean, that was... And he was in there in that fight. It's not like he was got destroyed. I mean,
Frankie Edgar's got to be next.
That would be an amazing...
That's going to be
that's
a great
amazing fight. That would be amazing, because Frankie's all... Man, Frankie... Styles make fights, and Frankie had a hard time with Jose, but...
But he still went the distance. It was still a 5-round fight.
But style wise, I think Max is a definitely possesses different problems than Jose. But I believe that we have to see if Frankie's so good at timing those takedowns. So he'd probably put Max in positions that we really haven't seen him in.
Yeah, I mean, has he fought anyone who's going to do to him on the ground with Frankie Edgar would do to someone on the ground?
There's not many people out there like Frankie Edgar the whole package, but. What excites me about that is you're talking about two guys with a great skill set, and both of them have the lungs to do hard 5 rounds. Right. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, yo, Frankie's going to bring like BJ Penn into deep waters, and you know what I mean? Like,
I would see that fight going the distance. That's a fight, because Frankie hasn't put that many people away lately. I that's a fight I would see going the distance.
I don't know, Frankie. Wait, what happened?
Yeah, Rodriguez, he beat up pretty good.
Yeah, he beat him up they had to stop it, I think, because of the eye.
Yeah,
yeah, man. Yeah. He also took out Cleagweed, I'm sorry.
Gray Maynard.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying
Gray Maynard, and also, shit, man, Alpha Male. What's his name? For Connor. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, Chad Mendes.
Yes, Chad Mendes. Oh, yeah, Thank you so much, buddy. That's why we're a team.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, this is Dwayne Johnson, and I'm here to tell you about a new documentary podcast series titled What Really Happened, narrated by award-winning documentary filmmaker Andrew Jenks in coordination with our company, 7 Bucks Productions.
Muhammad Ali saved a man from committing suicide.
We got the whole world on a woman.
In 2007, Britney Spears' life became a train wreck.
Next thing I knew, all her hair was off.
Was Michael Jordan pushed out of basketball because of his gambling problem?
You know, I'm doing fine. I'm strong mentally and strong physically.
Did any of these happen the way we were told? I'm Andrew Jenks, a documentary filmmaker, and along with executive producers Dwayne Johnson and Danny Garcia, I go on a rogue investigation.
This series will look deep into the unknown sides of historic news stories and then ask, what really happened?
You can subscribe and listen to What Really Happened now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
We're going to call Paul Felder in a minute.
Okay,
first
cool.
of all, we're going to talk about that.
We're talking about his fight with Oliveira. That was incredible.
Yeah, man, he did great with that. Man.
Stayed on the ground. It was so bizarre.
He had to get out of some funk, man. And I'll tell you, man, I was worried when that guy had him in the Darce or an Anaconda.
What is the difference? Because I thought it was a Darce.
Under
the
armpit is. I think Anaconda. It's not my fucking favorite. You got to understand, I did jiu-jitsu when there was no names.
Right.
But the Darce and the Anaconda, it's very similar, but I got short arms, so I don't really go for those.
It looked like a Darce to me, but I don't know exactly.
But he almost, and then he actually, Joe Rogan said the best thing. He's like, yo, that's the worst thing to do, because he hooked his leg.
Turning the wrong way, wasn't he?
No, it was a couple of, so when he mounted him with that, it was a bad. It was like, man, I'm like, I thought it was over. I really did. I mean, how he got out of it. I want to ask him how tight was that, you know? I got to see what it was. I think it was a Darce, but it was fucking tight as shit. And that guy is so good. And he had a few things that were very tight. And then once Paul would get out, he'd get right into something else, man. But you know what the problem with that is? It gets tiring going for those submissions. Like, you know what I mean? So he was so relentless with them. It's almost like he's putting everything into trying to knock a guy out. You know what I mean? So he's like, you want to commit to those subs, but you don't want to try to force it. You know what I'm saying, Jimmy?
That's right.
Yeah.
That was incredible. When we get back after Paul, we can talk about the Ngannou-Overeem fight in real time. Talk about the entire fight in real time.
Dude, he fucking punched him into orbit.
I just, to see a guy that big be knocked unconscious so ferociously.
I was impressed with how he just took away that takedown like nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Him up against Kitt, yeah. I thought Overeem would do more. I was surprised Overeem let his head go down like that. I'm not sure why he left his face open like that. It seemed like a very weird, unless he was afraid he was going to get clipped with a hook.
Man.
Paul, what's up, buddy? Let me get him up.
It's going to be a party. You know what I did in Vegas? You know what I did in Vegas?
Well, it's going to stay
there. After doing that little acting gig, it's a long days with that.
What'd you do?
You know what I did at nighttime at the Palms?
What?
Really? I saw Justice League by myself.
Did you like it?
Am I a loser?
No.
You think I'm a loser by doing
that? No, I watched porn by myself. At least you're going to a movie.
No, but that's
how fun. Was it?
I seen it already.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're talking to Jim and Matt on UFC Unfiltered. Congratulations.
Yeah, Paul. Congrats,
thank you very much.
You know, we were just talking about your fight, and it seemed like there was a lot of time where I thought you were going to stand up and stay standing, and you seemed very content to go back down to the ground and pound on him. Did you just feel that he had kind of blown his arms out after that first round?
Yeah, absolutely. Once I started hitting him with some shots, and I just felt his strength. I mean, obviously in a choke, everybody feels pretty strong, but once that started to go away, I felt like if I can just put my weight on top of this guy and avoid anything sneaky, I feel like I'm the way better guy at ground and pound. You know, it's kind of one of the ways I really inflict a lot of damage. And I could see it in his eyes. He didn't like any of the shots I was landing. So I was like, all right, just don't get submitted. And I think I can finish this guy with my elbows.
Paul, how close was that first choke? It was a Darce, right? Didn't he have, was it a Darce he had you in?
Yeah. He went for like a, I guess like a, you know, like a reinforced guillotine to a Darce, and he just kept switching them all around as I poorly defended for about 3.5 minutes.
I poorly defended. Hey, dude, you survived it, man.
Yeah, so I think you did okay.
It wasn't that poorly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we worked a lot of that stuff. There was only a couple things, man, that I did that I was like, God, I'm such an idiot. Like, when I put my leg, Matt, it back into the into the Darce, I was like...
Joe Rogan called you on that. He's like, that's the worst thing you could do.
He called me on it big time. I was like, I just let myself get folded like an accordion, and that's when I started gargling like out loud. I mean, you can't hear it,
man.
It was bad.
Oh, you actually thought you might be going out, and what did you do to get out of that?
Well, I went bananas and was able to force that leg back out, and that's when he kind of tried to move, and I moved and I was able to like arch up and get my back out.
Yeah.
And from there is when he tried to transition, luckily for me, to my back.
Yeah. And you got the wrist control, didn't you? Yes.
Yeah, and I immediately had that whole hand. And I knew what he was trying to do because I've seen him in all of his other fights. He tries to throw just punches just to get you worried and slides his hand underneath. And then I was just all over it. I knew exactly what he was trying to do there, thank God.
Now, you trained jiu-jitsu under Daniel Gracie?
I did. I trained with Daniel for years and years and years. Oh. But then he was kind of floating around between Boston and back up to New York. And when that happened, I needed something more consistent. And I was traveling to Ricardo Almeida's, and I was going to, you know, Nick Catone's. And it was just so much driving. It was driving me nuts. My back was killing me all the time. So when I lost Trinaldo, I was like, all right, something's got to change. And my manager was like, I want you to go and just spend some time at Rufus Sport. I think it'll be a good fit for you. And I loved it, man.
Oh, that's great, man. No, Duke is amazing.
Yeah.
What's it like working with it? What's it like working with Duke Rufus?
Man, he's a trip, man. He's like a Muay Thai encyclopedia. So it's just nonstop getting fight footage sent to you on your Instagram or your, you know, Facebook messengers, constantly some kind of knowledge that he's trying to drop on you. And he's a very easygoing guy. So he's super easy to work with.
Isn't he a big movie guy too?
Yeah, we had him out here talking.
Yeah,
about
I think he's a guy.
He was doing his Rocky impression in the back when we were getting wrapped up for this fight. So if you ever want to hear him do a Rocky Balboa impression, Duke will be more than happy to oblige.
Is it a good Rocky or a terrible one?
It's not a bad one. I'll give him that. It's not a bad impression.
Do you think he did that just because you're from Philadelphia and he kind of wanted to like?
Oh, yeah, but one of the first things we talked about when we started working was how he's a humongous Rocky fan. So being from Philly, obviously, I think that gave me a little charm for him. So can't hurt to love Rocky.
What is it about Philly, Paul? Because there's so many. I don't know many MMA guys from Philly besides yourself, and you probably could tell me a couple of more.
Eddie.
But Bob, Eddie Alvarez, of course. But I mean, you get guys like Sonny Liston and Meldrick Taylor and Joe Frazier and fucking Bernard Hopkins. There's so many good fighters from Philadelphia. Yeah. What is it about that city that just inspires guys to beat the shit out of each other? It's a great fighting city. I mean, they call it the fighting city of Philadelphia, but.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's just like any tough neighborhoods. You know, we've got ours, you know, like New York has theirs. And I just think since we're always the kind of the smaller city and you know, we're so close to New York City, I feel like we've always kind of had that like chip on our shoulder as Philly guys. Like, you know, we're tough too. And, you know, we got a city, but it's a little smaller. And it's up until recently, I mean, the last years, Philly's really been coming a nice spot to actually go and visit, and like a lot of restaurants and craziness. But back when I was a little kid and in the 70s and stuff, man, it was a little dirty and a little rough. You know, they've really done a lot of work to the city, but it's definitely a working class neighborhood. You know, we like our hockey and our football, and if they're doing good, we love them. If you suck, we're going to let you know.
Yes, so you will.
it's been that kind of town.
Yo, Paul, how did you?
No, that's it. It's just saying it breeds tough people.
Now, how did you get involved with the color commentary? Because I think you're really natural at it, man. How did you get involved with that?
I went to UArts here in Philly. So, I mean, I had an acting background coming out of college. That's what I went to school for. So I think the UFC just liked my post. I didn't think they really knew that. They just liked my post-fight speeches and how I handled myself in interviews and gave me an audition for the Contender Series, and I got that, and that I took full advantage of that. Went out there and did a good job on that audition, and I got that job.
How does that?
And then obviously,
okay. How does that audition?
They auditioned like 10 of us.
Ah.
They put us in front of a green screen. We had to do a stand up just as if you were cage side, and then we had to call a live event. Now we weren't actually the ones that you heard on the broadcast, but we called it as if we were doing it live. Like we didn't. It was just us in a booth, and we were watching them on TV. So I had the Singapore fights at the time, and it was me and a broadcast partner, and we would like switch partners, and we just kept taking turns calling like 3-4 fights at a time, and we had our earpieces in just as if it was a production. They gave us notes throughout.
Oh wow! Oh, they give you notes in the middle of it?
Yeah, they were. I mean, as you're even doing the color commentary, we always have our producers in our ears, so they can be like, "All right, I need you to talk about that left kick more. Don't talk about the fact that he's on a losing streak. Talk about that he's on a win streak." You know, you're always kind of getting.
Oh, that okay. I was wondering how these guys know everything.
Well, we have a lot of paperwork and a lot of research too. But yeah, if there's, you know, and I can always, you hear Joe do it all the time. Like, I want to take a look at that groin strike or that illegal knee. And that's how, you know, that's how we get pulled up. We're always kind of in in cahoots with each other during the productions.
Oh, that's interesting to do. It's probably not easy to do knowing you're auditioning. You're like, all right, do I talk more? Do I talk less? Am I talking too much? It's got to be a tough balance to know when to let the action happen and enjoy it and when to talk and when you haven't talked in long enough.
Yeah, that is really a big part of the problem, right, is you always feel like you have to fill that dead space and that air. But during a fight, you got to realize there's fighting going on. And the fans that are tuning in, yeah, they want to hear what you have to offer. But they're also watching fights. They're maybe with, you know, 20 of their boys watching the fights, drinking some beers. Like they want to know your knowledge, but they don't want to be like, all right, dude, shut up. Let me, you know, watch these fights, for Christ's sake.
Did you have anyone who was terrible that you got paired up with? Like, just were there any, like, when you were switching back and forth with somebody, and you're like, oh, this guy's fucking horrendous.
No, luckily I had only worked with, there was like five of us, but I only worked with two guys, and the one guy, Brendan, is who is doing the Fresno fights with me and did the Contender Series with me, so he got the job. He was one of the guys there, actually. Yeah, and then another guy that I did them with was really good, but, you know, it just, they went a different route, but he does like college sports stuff, so these guys were all professionals too. It was a pretty smooth transition. They just didn't know all that much about fighting, so it was kind of my job to fill in the gaps of like they would have no idea what the Darce choke was that I was stuck in the other night. They'd have been like, I don't know, this looks miserable, but I don't know what's going on here.
It was miserable, wasn't it?
Sometimes I get confused with the Darce and the Anaconda. Paul, I was training back in the day when it was, everything went down to, oh, that's a choke and that's an arm lock and that's a foot lock. Everything's got a name now. It gets so crazy.
Oh my God.
But don't get me wrong. Those have been around a little bit now.
Yeah.
It's funny.
You know, I couldn't have told you if it was a Darce or an Anaconda.
When you were in it? That.
I knew that his arms were wrapped around my neck and lights were getting dim.
It was very impressive, though, how you survived that, dude. Because he's putting away a lot of good guys, man. He's very confident in his submissions, and that showed some balls by you just staying down,
going back down on purpose. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those weird things. The whole time I knew, I'm like, I should just stand up. I should just stand up. But every time I was like, I'm just gonna punch him one more time, or I'm gonna just land one more big shot. Yeah. And if he gets up, he gets up. Because I'm pretty good about arm bars and things like that. And I'm a pretty strong guy. So I was like, I'm not really worried about his bottom game. I was more worried about if I'm scrambling and he grabs my neck.
Yeah.
And that's what happened off the bat, of course. but yeah, we were prepared to stay in tight on the ground in guard and stay in guard. I'm not going to try to push on your knee and pass and risk, you know, omoplatas and triangles and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to stay in there, make sure that I was watching wrist control and just elbow the crap out of him. And once we got that position, you know, it was going well, except for the couple little leg lock attempts. But again, my legs, you know, I'm pretty strong there, and he was getting a little slow at that point.
When you are scrambling and you give up your neck and you know that's what you're not, is there a party that goes, how the fuck did I do? Why did I just do this?
Yeah, well, I mean, shit, for that fight, the one thing, the whole camp, I mean, 7-8 weeks of football, I mean, it wasn't that long, it was actually like 3.5 weeks, right, 4 weeks, when we got the switch for Charles. So it was like, you know, he wants you to whizzer and turn hard when he shoots for a takedown, because he doesn't want the takedown, he wants to get your back. Yeah. So he gets me against that fence, what is the first freaking thing that guy does is, he takes my whizzer side, goes around my back, and that's why you saw me freak, because I didn't want to give that up so bad that I ended up turning into it and giving up the Darce instead. But yeah, it was there was a couple moments where I'm like, God damn.
Why did I screw up that?
Now I'm an idiot.
Well, you know, and I'm fascinated by your path too, because you, like you said, you majored in acting. Did you do a lot of theater work, or were you looking more to do film or TV?
Well, eventually I wanted to do more film and TV, but when I went to school, it was 95% a theater degree. I mean, I didn't do musicals. I wasn't, was never a good singer or anything like that. Unfortunately, I can't sing and dance too well, but I did regular theater. I did a lot of traditional. Shakespeare. I did it all, man.
You did Shakespeare. Did you like doing Shakespeare? I've tried to watch it and I can never follow it.
It was tough. The stories are really good. You know, that's the problem with it. It's just the language is really, you know, it's old and it's hard to follow. And a lot of guys try too hard nowadays to make it something new, and they get carried away with themes and things like that. So when I was in college, that was kind of going on too. It's like, well, we'll set it in 1975 in Germany during this, and it just doesn't translate, and people get carried away. But it was never my favorite part of school. I've always just been kind of like a gritty, you know, black box theater, small show, just real people in real situation type of acting.
What's the most vulnerable role you ever played that was like the hardest emotionally?
I played this guy in this show called Extremities. It's actually a movie in the 80s too. Same thing. And he's this serial killer rapist guy. But at the very end of the play, he's trapped in this fireplace, locked in there. He's been tortured by these women that finally get him after he tries to, you know, do another crime scene. And he breaks down crying and like begging for his mom type stuff and talking about his childhood. And you start realizing like just the depths that go into these kind of monsters and how they're tortured people. You know, they're not just doing this just because it's fun. Something happened to them along their path to make them do such extreme things. And that was the hardest to do because I have to make this guy's horrible actions somehow, not justified, but why would a human being do these things to women? And tough, man.
Well, you're playing a guy, so when you're playing that guy, you have to be able to justify those things because he would justify, like, you have to look at it from his point of view and go, this is why I do this. So it has to be something, you know what I mean? Like you can't sell like I'm a bad man, because then it wouldn't be believable.
No, you can never play like that. That's the whole thing. Like if you're drunk, you can never play I'm drunk. You have to play I'm trying to be sober. What are you talking about? I'm not drunk. You know, that's how drunk people are. That's why you see people when they overdo things, it's because they're doing it wrong. You know, if you're a terrible person, you've got to play it like you're the nicest guy in the world, because they don't think they're terrible.
No, Caligula thought he was the bee's knees. He didn't think he was a fucking bad guy.
Now, Paul, you're into the acting. Is that because you're really into, are you a movie buff or?
No, I was never really, I same as fighting, man. You know, it's like, I like performing. I like being in front of people and expressing myself in different ways, and theater / movies, or, you know, fighting and martial arts, has always, I mean, martial arts was my first, well before I was ever an actor, I was, 12 years old doing karate and taekwondo in Philly. So that was the start. But then in high school, I wanted to do something different, because I switched schools. I went from an inner city school. So my parents, my last year or two of high school, moved outside of the city, and I didn't know anybody. So I had to get to know people in the suburbs somehow, and that's what I did. I joined an acting class.
And you were fighting a lot in the inner city schools, and then you were in a safer area after that?
Yeah, I mean, I was just like 20 minutes outside of the city, like just down past the Philly airport where my parents moved. So it was definitely safer, but it wasn't like... it's not like I moved to some really posh, really wealthy neighborhood from where I grew up. It was much better than where I grew up as a kid, but it was, thank God, it wasn't like suddenly I'm in like Beverly Hills trying to deal with people like that from South Philly. It would have been a nightmare. But yeah, it was just a difference. Did you ever see the It's Always Sunny episode where they, Mac and Dennis, try to move to the suburbs?
I did not.
Oh my God, you guys got to look that up. That is how I felt as a 16-year-old.
How did it feel guest starring on that show when you were on there with Cowboy Cerrone earlier this year?
Oh man, that was so much fun. You know, the reason that all happened is because we met Rob, who played, you know, who was one of the main creators of the show, and he lived with us on the ranch for a little bit just for fun. And he's like, I got to figure out a way to get you guys on the next season, just so we can all hang out and do our thing. It was a dream come true.
And I know the new rankings, I don't think, have come out yet, have they? But you definitely got to crack the top 15 after this.
Man, let me tell you, there's one thing, you know, and Matt, you know, you've been a legend around forever, but there's just, you fight for so long, man. I know that number doesn't mean everything. I know that I can get a new contract and make money and do all, but I've busted my ass for a long time in this sport. That was my 10th UFC fight, my third finish in a row. Like, it was just like that satisfaction for the first time in my UFC career for them to be like, yeah, you are officially one of the baddest dudes in this division. You know, it would be nice to get that shout out from the rankings. And I hope so, but who knows, you know, who knows?
Now, Paul, I can tell, listen, you're a badass, but you seem like a really nice guy. You probably don't want to call anybody out, but who do you want next? I know you don't want to be that guy, but if you are that guy, listen, they want to watch you fight anyway because you're exciting as hell. But who do you want, buddy, in the top 10 or something? Give me a name. Let's promote this shit.
Well, you know, I was looking, and I probably won't get them unless I do get a number next to my name. But like, I think Evan Dunham is up there at number 15. Oh, he's a fun fight. I've always wanted to fight Dustin Poirier. I would love to fight him. I think he's number 8. Justin Gaethje's coming off a loss, but holy shit, would that be just an epic battle? Oof. I mean, look at what him and Eddie did. You're not going to get much different from me and him. Who else is up there right now, man? I mean, you know, our boy Al.
Raging Al. Yeah.
If he's healthy, yeah.
That would have been phenomenal.
Injuries, and I know he even wrote to me on Twitter and was like, don't even bother. You know, they're not telling you that I pulled out the right away, and it's true. I didn't know that, you know, so I see where he's coming from with they kind of left me on the hook a little bit there for a little while, and
I feel for you.
He seemed kind of look like he pulled out last minute, which I believe him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's also Michael Chiesa, Kevin Lee. I mean, that division is James Vick at number 14. That division is sickeningly
good.
Might
be the most exciting division.
Oh, my God.
Big argument.
That's why I'm saying, yeah, I mean, you kind of close your eyes and point to any of those guys in the top 15, and I'm like, oh, man, shit, that's a tough fight. There's nobody in there that's like, oh, yeah, you know what? Let me pick off that guy.
Yeah.
How happy were you? Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, what a tremendous, you know, a lot of times fights don't live up to what they're supposed to be. That was better than I expected it to be. Gaethje was impressive, really, really great. And then just, I mean, anyone can get caught with a knee. Eddie Alvarez driving his knee up into your face. I mean, there's very few people that are going to be able to walk away from that.
What'd you think of that fight, Paul? Did you see it?
Yeah, man, I was eating my ice cream and Little Caesars pizza at the Little Caesars Arena in the green room. We were watching it. I was just screaming, Philly!
That was, yeah, it was a fun one.
It was epic.
What was that wound? What was swollen in Eddie's cheek? Do you know? I mean, it looked like he broke something.
I thought it was his jaw at first, but I think maybe he just got a hematoma like up under his front lip. Do you know what I mean? That's what it looks like. Because I haven't heard any like broken bones or anything like that from him, from any of him or his coaches either. So,
what was so exciting is I never saw Eddie, like, those leg kicks were starting to take the toll because you saw Eddie switching his stance. And
oh,
stuff.
God, yeah.
And you never see Eddie ever looking to pull guard or anything. You know what I mean? So at one point when he went down, I go, oh, this might get really, this. I don't see how this is going to get better for him, you know? What a tough son of a gun, huh? I mean, just that was really, that did live up to it, man. It did live up to it.
Yeah, He's tough, man. I even sparred him when we first started camp. I was still in Philly, so I did a couple of rounds with him, and I was just, that's all I tried to do for him. You know what I mean? Was try to leg kick, city him, and I know he had a lot of his sparring partners doing the same thing, man. Because Gaethje is just he doesn't care what you're throwing at him during that. He's throwing that leg kick, and it's gonna hurt because he just whips it both sides too. He'll go to your back leg and your front leg. So that's a tough thing to deal with, a guy who's willing to take some shots and chop that leg, because over a 3-round fight or a 5-round fight, man, your leg is going to be hurting.
Well, your first loss was against Edson Barboza, who's, I mean, that's pretty much his specialty, is driving that foot into your leg. And how hard was that for you to deal with? And kind of the follow-up to that is, I was just talking about how it didn't seem like Jose Aldo is throwing kicks like he used to. He threw more this time than he did in the last fight, but he's still not doing what Aldo used to do. And Matt said, well, that's because Holloway was kind of crowding him. And so do you think that's what it was? And was that something you should have done against Barboza but didn't do?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely something I should have done against Edson. You know, that whole training camp back then, I was never lacking toughness or cardio or any of that. What I was missing was kind of what I'm getting with Duke now, is somebody that kind of picks that thing, those things out and breaks things down a little more and sees things as a strategic point of view, because I never do. It's just not how I am as a fighter. I need somebody to kind of base camps around things like that. And yeah, I should have gone after him more, tried to make it a little more ugly. And yeah, my legs hurt like a son of a bitch after that fight. I know how brutal that can be.
When you take a kick like that, when you feel like the first one, you know that's what he does. You're expecting it. I guess you train for it. But is it what you expected it to be, or was it worse?
It was actually not as bad as I expected it to be. And I think because I did a pretty good job of checking some of them early in the fight against Edson.
Mm-hmm.
And his shin smashed on mine. And there's one thing I can do pretty well, and it's I got some hard-ass shins. So I think when we clacked shins, it kind of made him start going back more to the body. If you notice in that fight, he really tried to attack my body more than anything. And I think that deterred him a little bit. And I was also landing some elbows. And like coming, I swole his eye open, shut with a left hook off of one of his kicks. So I think I did enough where I let him know, like, hey, you're not going to be able to just throw these at me without some repercussions.
When somebody checks a low kick right, or any kick right, it's, oh man, it does make you think twice. Because you don't want to see stars like that again. Even with the shin pads on back in the day, if I kicked an elbow or hit a knee, I'm just seeing,
the worst.
It sucks. It does suck.
What did you see? Speaking of body punching, too, did you see the fucking, what a beautiful job Alvarez did against Gaethje going to the body? I mean, that was
probably won him the fight. Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen anybody working the body that way in MMA. That was beautiful.
It's awesome to see that, man. And, you know, I know Eddie really put in his time with Ray Robertson as his boxing, you know, sparring partner and everything, and going to different boxing gyms in Philly, and obviously with Mark Henry, but. He showed that, man. He showed that just because it's MMA, we kind of forget that body's there. And man, he was just coming right up under those elbows, and he showed some beautiful work in that fight. I gotta give him a lot of credit for that. He was ready for that fight.
I would gladly see those guys fight again too. I mean, that was an incredible fight. And last thing, I guess, is you know Oliveira tapped due to that elbow you dropped. You dropped a ferocious elbow. And he tapped, and I guess the ref didn't see it. And you said in the post-fight interview with Joe that you did feel the tap. Now, do you know he's trying to tap, or you're not 100% sure what he's doing?
That's what I guess wasn't clear to people. Is I think a lot of people took it as, I knew he tapped, and I tried to beat him to death anyway. And so what really happened was, I felt something, okay, and I thought it was a tap. But I'm looking at the ref, I'm looking at Charles. Nobody's stopping. He's not waving his hands in front of his face or anything like that. And you better believe I'm not giving up an opportunity to have my opponent finished because I thought there was a tap.
Sure.
And then the ref goes, there's no tap. And then this dude's got my neck again or something crazy like that.
Yeah, I misunderstood that too.
Yeah, so I felt that little tap. And I thought, okay, it's over. And then it wasn't. So I was like, well, I'm not waiting around in the middle of a fight with a submission guy who can at any point be holding my leg again and breaking my knee or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I had some people come at me on Instagram and things like that, but you guys know how it is. There's always, somebody's going to hate me no matter what happens. That's just the way we are with social media these days. So I didn't do anything violent on purpose towards Charles. I didn't know if the fight was over or not. And it wasn't. The ref didn't think that was a tap, and he didn't tap again.
Right. So you didn't know that it was, you felt it, but you weren't 100% sure what it was. And because it's Oliveira, all of a sudden you stop for a half a second and he's on top of you. Yeah, understandable.
You better believe he's not gonna tap like that. I don't throw another elbow. The ref doesn't stop it. You think he's going to just not take that moment to be like, oh, you know what? No, it is over. I tapped. Or maybe he would. I don't know. He seemed out of it for sure.
Listen, man, personally, I feel you made absolutely the right call.
Yeah, me too.
The ref is there for a reason to keep that guy safe. You know, you stop when I you know, at least that was my mentality, because you're a nice guy right there, and then the guy's elbows you and you're missing teeth, and you're like, I could have, you know, I could have just ended it. Forget that, man. Be a nice guy after that. You're in battle, man. Your mind is made just to take this guy out by any means necessary. You can't be thinking, oh, maybe he's hurt now. Was that a tap?
Yeah.
No, you're not even thinking like that.
People don't get that. You know, like, you know how it is. You've been in there. You, man, it's such a different feeling than any other. Like, it's not a sparring match. It doesn't feel like you're just in the gym. When you're in there for real under those lights, yeah, in that octagon, man, that shit is, you're just on, you're on instinct, and what you've trained comes out, and that's it. And then when it's over, you kind of realize where you are, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel great, like, when you do end it like that, and it's, oh, and it's over, it's like a relief, like a, oh, like now they, man, can't start it up again. This is it. I won. That, it's that's done.
It. That's it.
Oh, man, it's a wrap. That, yeah, that's feeling, great.
That, and that's why we keep doing it, right? That, I mean, that's why, yeah, every time I'm leading up to fight week, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I doing this? I'm cutting weight. It's horrible. I'm miserable. You know, I'm nervous. I start thinking that guy's so much better than me. Well, he's going to kick my ass. And
you do have those thoughts. That's interesting.
Yeah, and then I finish him, and I'm like pounding my chest, and I'm the crowd screaming, and I'm hugging my. I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I do this.
That's the feeling that people will never understand, Paul. Nope. I understand, nope. And that's exactly the feeling why people stay around a little longer than they should sometimes.
Too long.
Yeah, because they're like they. It's hard to capture that feeling any other way. You know, you're not going to feel that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why it's nice that you have these other passions, even with the acting and whatnot, because it's a different thrill, but it is a rewarding type feeling when you're doing something like that, whether it's the color commentary or the acting. It's like a rewarding type feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It fills that void at least a little bit. You know,
a little,
I mean,
bit. Like, yeah. Nothing's quite like over. That victory, though. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, man.
Never will.
It was a tremendously impressive fight. I was really happy for you. And I'm looking forward. I would love to see you and Ia Quinta fight if he's healthy and able to. But there's so many guys in that division that match up great with. Again, Gaethje and you. I mean, you both just fought. That's a savage. That's probably another fucking three-round just complete fist fight like he just had with Alvarez. I would love to see you against Eddie. I mean, just two Philadelphia guys slugging it out. So congratulations, man, and have fun in Fresno. We'll definitely talk to you again.
Yeah, I'll see you out there, buddy.
Yeah, man.
I'll be out there.
Yeah, I got
my buddy, a couple of my guys fighting. I got Aljo Sterling fighting, which is going to be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then also my Marab. Now, you're going to be calling these fights. You're doing the color commentary, right?
Like,
wait till you see this kid. You're going to love Marab. I pronounce his last name, but I destroy it. Quick, Chris, the producer. Quick.
I don't have it. All
right. Good job. But listen.
I'm going to have to study that myself, then, so I don't butcher it myself.
Yeah, you're going to love him, man. He's a just a tornado, man. And he's fighting Frankie Saenz. Is it Saenz or Saenz?
Oh, yeah, it's Frankie Saenz, yeah.
So that's going to be great, man. All right. Well, I'll see you out there, man. And thanks for hanging with us, dude. And congratulations again on a phenomenal fight, dude.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, and let's get a beer while we're out there, man.
You got it, homie, for sure, dude.
Yeah, cool.
All right, Paul.
See you later, Paul.
All right, guys. Thank you, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, buddy. You too.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that's great. It's funny. He's such a nice dude.
Yeah.
And an actor. He did Shakespeare, and what an animal.
Right? Nobody's going to fuck with that drama class,
dude,
right?
He's
the drama group. Let's go fuck with him.
And he was talking about Eddie. No, you're right. I forgot that. Another Philadelphia, just a savage.
Yeah.
I like that he tweeted to Justin Gaethje. He said, "You're the toughest son of a bitch I ever fought, Justin Gaethje. Taste two to tango, brother. We won." And then Gaethje wrote back, "Congrats, Eddie. Thank you for the dance. That was fun. Win or lose, this hurts." Those body shots.
He said,
"This hurts." Meaning, I mean, it looked. I don't know. Did you have Gaethje win that fight? That was a very, very tough fight to call.
So hard to call.
Really
tough. I thought
Gaethje
maybe won the first round, and then I think Eddie started to take it to
really
him.
Tough to call.
But you don't know how they're scoring the leg kicks.
But also visible damage, and then Eddie's, like you said, maybe hematoma, whatever it was. I thought his jaw was broken.
Yeah.
It was, it's not.
I couldn't believe
it's
he dropped.
Funny because it was a very aggressive fight by both guys, but it was very technical at the same time, where Eddie with his body shots, and it just, and he looked, no, I'm not saying Conor McGregor-ish, but like he looked very, at points you see him just waving his arms where he's getting loose and then just throw like a whack whack to the body, to the head, and it's like, how is this other dude absorbing this? And that's the one thing where it's like I do worry about the length of this dude's career, Justin Gaethje, because first of all, entertaining is all hell, but shit, man, he trusts in his chin a little too much where he's taking shots, but then all of a sudden he's firing back a leg kick. When I saw Eddie go to his back, I believe it's in the second round, I might be off with that, but I believe it is, where it was in the clinch and he almost like invited him down, and he almost invited him down to the floor. I was extremely worried about how he's going to make it through if Justin continually to land those leg kicks, where he was. He kept landing them. Right. And then it felt like he went away from a little bit and came back again.
And he goes southpaw for a little while. And he looked very awkward at southpaw. He didn't look comfortable at southpaw.
It looked like almost it's a matter of time before this that one shot to that leg just is the straw that breaks the camel's
Well, that's thing. What Eddie said, the fourth and fifth round. He's like, if it went to a fourth and fifth round, I was going to have a problem because his leg was obviously compromised.
Who picked him to win?
I think I picked Eddie.
Well, why don't we go through it? So Jim Norton had Eddie Alvarez by second round TKO. So you got 2 points for that because it was the third round, but you picked Eddie by TKO.
Okay.
Matt, you had Eddie Alvarez by decision. And I had Justin Gaethje by third round TKO.
Chris the fucking producer. Yeah, your picks get booed. All right.
I got to say one thing. Let's talk about a tremendous Ngannou destroying Alistair Overeem. And that is really, I kind of wanted him to win. I liked Alistair Overeem after talking to him a lot. And again, those his knees and his kicks. You know, all could have been a problem for Ngannou. That uppercut, I mean...
Can I tell you that?
I don't know if I've seen a more beautiful uppercut than that.
The second Overeem clinched him, the first thing I said was like, oh, yes, I picked a submission. I picked this. He's going to... we got away from him.
Were you amazed at how strong Ngannou was? He just put him back against... Here's when I knew that Overeem might be in trouble. At the weigh-in, the day before, they're looking at each other, and Overeem's a cocky dude. He know. And then fucking Ngannou... just puts his arms up above, and you see what a giant guy he is. And Overeem looked concerned.
Didn't he say something to him?
Yeah, he told him he was going to put him to sleep. He goes, you're going to go to sleep.
Who said that?
Ngannou.
Francis said that.
And it looked to me like Overeem was concerned. He didn't look... He looked like...
And you're talking about 85 fights to 8 or 10 or whatever he said.
Yeah, I think that's his 11th fight.
But I think he sensed it. Like when he put his arms above him, like a grizzly, I think he sensed like, this is a much bigger guy than I am. With 3 inches of reach, which makes a big difference in the heavyweight division.
When he had him against the cage, when Ngannou pushed Alistair up against the cage... You can see, like, oh no, like Ngannou is much bigger, and Overeem's a giant.
And he's a lot.
He looks significantly bigger.
He had to cut weight to get down to 265. Was it 264 or something?
He went in at 262, but yeah, he cut.
And Overeem was 247?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big difference, man. 15 pounds?
No, he's a big boy. I like his whole story, man.
I love his story. You know? I mean, look, does he fight Miocic yet? I don't know if the belt is next. I don't know who to root for in that, because Stipe I like a lot personally, and I don't want to see him lose.
Well, I'm personally, Stipe's been in my
he's a good dude, man. I can't root against Stipe against anyone.
I'd have to root for Stipe.
I would too.
But I love Francis.
But if Francis won, I'd be happy for him that he won. Does that make any sense?
I think footwork would be the big difference in that, because that was the one thing, obviously incredible power from Ngannou, but you can see he's not as technically sound a striker as an Overeem or whatever.
I would love to see Francis versus Verdum. I would love that. And I'd love to see him versus Cain Velasquez.
I was thinking that,
because
too.
Because could he stop Cain being relentless with those shots? And could Cain get him down? Cain is relentless with that. Remember, don't judge. We can't judge him on
Of course not.
That one performance.
Dos Anjos, I mean, against Jun Dos Santos? When he got knocked out, you mean?
No,
the last one was against Verdum.
I thought he was talking about getting knocked out. I was talking about the Verdum one. Oh, okay, in Mexico, yeah.
He got tired, but usually he doesn't get tired.
He never gets tired.
And he's relentless. And, could Francis keep him away? I love saying Francis.
Well, the weird thing about that, it's a good question, is with Verdum, I mean, Verdum has been knocked out by Miocic. He's lost fights. Cain... Again, JDS put him to sleep with a fucking shot to the head. So could he take one of Francis's shots? I don't know. Very few guys seem like they can really take... Like, he rocks you.
Right. Like, and we've never seen Francis's chin tested either.
That's true.
Which you got to imagine...
Stipe would test that better than anybody.
Imagine that. That'd be fucking rough.
I think that might be the fight. That's got to be the next fight.
And not to mention, Stipe also has some wrestling.
Yes, he does.
He's good, man. I seen him rolling, man, at my place, dude. He's... Not just a striker, that's for sure.
Yeah, you can't underestimate him. And again, he has amazing hands.
That would be a phenomenal. That would be a monster movie, man.
But Ngannou knocked him out. Like, his head snapped back.
Oh no, that was
and he was out before he hit the floor. I didn't like that Ngannou went down and hit him again. I mean, I know in battle, like, because he was flat.
I think he.
You watch that. He knew he was out.
Nah, I'm telling you, Jimmy. I mean, I remember when they broke me up with Frank Trigg. I was teeing off on his. He knocked down. I was going. You want it to end. Because the longer it goes, the longer you got bodily harm potentially coming to you. You know what I mean? You're locked in a cage. You want this. They have to. You have to make them stop it. And I know. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Not everybody could have the
this guy
composure. The composure of right. I want to say his name, Sansao. The other day,
Sansao. Yes, he went to and then he stopped.
Stopped. That was a beautiful thing he did. But I know the other side of it, where you're locked, you're training for over 2 months like an animal, and you have to. It's a him or you type of feeling. It's like I want to. Like you want they like both of my fight with George, even with Frank Trigg. I remember when I got him down, and I was just finding his chin like a sharpshooter. I just seen like a red like what is it a scope yeah. like on his chin, and I was following up. And you see when they were doing the highlight afterwards, the replay. Every time we'd land on the chin, they go oh, but I would not stop. The ref jumped in, but you're not. It's like you're in a. You're in a,
I'm sure
like,
it's a different
in,
zone mentally.
Yeah, you're in a zone. You're in a zone for sure.
Okay. I thought Overeem was so unconscious. Yeah. Yeah. His arms were straight. I'm like, he was out. Yeah, but I guess in that moment, it's a half a second. Like, yeah, you're in a fight. Half a second, yeah.
He's thinking, this guy's still dangerous. I mean, I gotta put him away. But man, was he big props to him. I can't. It makes it exciting, though. Because what he passed that was a test to pass, and holy shit, did he fucking pass!
And it wasn't shocking. Who picked Ngannou against Overeem? What was that pick?
I was gonna say, so Jim Norton took Francis Ngannou first round knockout, so that's 3 points for Jim. Matt unfortunately had Alistair by his second round submission, which made sense. That's a good pick.
You terrible know, pick.
You don't gotta try to make
it. It was a terrible pick.
And then I had
picking Nami Yunus against Ngannou was just as good as picking Overeem. Go ahead.
And then I had Francis by second round KO, so I got 2 points for that.
Okay, cool.
Wait, how are we doing? What's the point system?
That's a good point. It's, I like
if
it.
You pick the winner, you get a point. If you pick the round, you get a point. And if you pick how it happens, you get a point
so,
also.
Now, Cejudo Pettis was a really good fight. That was pretty much what we expected.
I picked that one wrong.
What'd you pick?
I picked Sergio Pettis. And he
who picked Henry?
He didn't have a bad guard, but it was not a. It was a savant. It wasn't.
He was very, taking damage, very defensive. No,
but again, he walked out of that not taking a beating at all. But it was. Cejudo was looking awesome. First of all,
yeah, he did the right.
And
thing.
He what I liked about Cejudo is
Cejudo,
Gesundheit. What? What's his name?
Excuse me.
What's his? I said Gesundheit like he sneezed when he said his name.
Pardon me.
But,
yeah,
Henry
Cejudo was a. He was yeah.
Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
Cejudo.
No, Cejudo.
Let's call the whole thing off. Cejudo. 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 Let's call the whole thing off. yeah. Go ahead. Say his name again.
Henry Cejudo.
Cejudo.
Who picked Henry?
So you know it's funny because you always say you don't pick very well, happened. But you just happen to be. Pretty perfect, this one. You had Henry Cejudo by a decision, so good. You got 3 points
that's what
for
I
that.
Saw.
Matt had Sergio Pettis TKO in the third round.
Okay, so
no
Matt
points.
Loses 5 points. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that Pettis would be in such a kind of a defensive thing, but it was still. I saw that going all the way.
Thanks, Serge. I'm only kidding, dude. Hey, listen, why am I? I think I lost the fight. I shouldn't be. Yeah. Listen, he's with the great Duke Rufus, and he's a young kid, so he'll go back to the drawing board, and I'm sure he'll make some corrections. He's got a bright future in front of him.
Sure,
but.
What's he, 15?
Henry. Henry. Henry.
Cejudo.
Henry.
Great job.
Cejudo.
Yeah. Olympic wrestler.
15-3?
Yeah.
Or 16-3.
He's looking great, man.
Sergio is 16-3.
Oh, yeah. And what I did like, well, I don't know if I finished what I was saying. What I did like when he got those takedowns in, but when they got back up to the feet, he gave, it's not like Sergio could be like, all right, now I just got to worry about that sprawl. Sure. He gave himself the respect.
Yeah.
So he's going at him and stepping in violently, putting stuff in his face and just, I don't know why Sergio tried to take him down at the very end. Fuck, what the hell is that going to do?
Maybe he figured he could still.
Well,
they
said he needed some desperation and he wasn't showing the proper amount of desperation.
Right. You know, the interesting thing I'd be interested to talk to Henry about if we had him on, he didn't have striking. He grew up a wrestler and he was an Olympic wrestler, and now he has kind of that karate stance and
very
he's been traveling around.
Machida, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting that's like what he
sure.
chose to go with, you know what I mean, out of all the options he could striking wise
well, it's working for him, man.
Oh, for sure.
And it's getting better with each fight, his striking.
And Dana did say TJ versus TJ is going to happen.
Huh?
Yeah, Dana
DJ,
was asked.
TJ, he said yes. That fight's happening.
Nothing official, but yes. Yeah, Dana
and
said.
Tish Torres against Michelle Waterson. Uh-huh. Again, it seemed like both of them were a little hesitant. I at the end, they do that whole thing where they gave each other the fingers. It was almost like the Lamas Holloway thing where they kind of called each other out.
Well, that was the Felice Herrig.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that was the fight I'm thinking of. And they weren't.
your shit together.
Yeah,
get your shit together.
But I was going to say they were both.
He's upset about the picks.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know he is. I just made a mistake because I didn't like it because neither one of them did anything else. They kind of just went back into what they had been doing.
Which one
are
we talking about?
That was Felice Herrick, Courtney Casey.
Courtney Casey, yes. Yeah. I mean,
all right.
I had to watch these spread out on my phone before I walked on stage and then watch the rest when I get home and then watch some on Fight Pass. So I was all over the place.
But we have to give.
Who picked that?
I don't want to jump all over the place.
Who
I really
picked Torres Waterston? I know we got that one rolling.
Great pick. And as you know what? As they were walking out, I was like, fuck, I should have taken Tisha Torres. But Tisha Torres, Jim had submission in the second round, obviously went to a decision, but he still gets the point.
Sure.
And me and Matt both had Michelle Waterson, and that didn't work out.
So basically, what was the final score?
Final score, Jim went 4 for 5 on his picks, 9 out of a 15, out of a possible 15 points.
How did I do?
Matt went 2 for 5, 3 out of a possible 15 points.
How'd you do?
And I went 3 for 5, a 5 out of a potential.
So you
15,
came in second.
So I'm in second place right now. Yeah.
I'll still kick both of your asses.
So we'll keep it going.
What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything?
I understand.
Why do I got to go right to alpha mode?
Because that's
because you're foot stomping me the whole show.
No. Because what happens is
foot stomp.
You. It was a humiliating defeat, and you wanted to.
I knew this was going to happen. You know, I knew you weren't going to want to do picks, but now you're like, well, I got
to
fucking.
Here's what's
going
to happen. You're going to know how I do from week to week. Like 1 week, you're going to see a picture of me. I'm going to be in a sling, and you're like, well, I guess fucking.
Jim went 4 for 5. Sarah
lost.
Listen, you know that's why we watch the fights.
Absolutely,
you know, Jimmy. And I'm excited. What do we got going on? Who's coming in next week with us? Or next episode? Do we know?
Yeah, we know. Zach Wilde is coming in from.
Ooh, that's wild.
He's playing for Black Label Society, and he's been playing with Ozzy for 20 years. Yeah. Actually, on and off for 20 years. He's back on tour with Ozzy now. He's a really good guy.
Is he an MMA fan?
I believe so, yeah.
If he's not, we're not having him on the show.
No, he's coming.
I don't want to put that out there, but we might not have him. Oh, is he coming in?
Yeah, he's coming in.
Well, don't make it awkward now, because I just said he might not.
Well, you made it awkward.
That is true. Matt's the boss, though.
Wait, hold on.
No one trumps Matt.
Is he an MMA fan?
Yeah, we book people that have, you know, interest in MMA. And, of course, Jim, you know,
I
loves
do love
Ozzy,
I spoke to Zach this morning.
Yeah.
All right.
So I already interviewed Zach.
So it's done? So we're not having him in?
No, I love Zach. I could talk to Zach every day.
Okay.
He's a really good guy. You'll
you know,
like Zach.
I'm going to Cali for those fights next week. You know, Jimmy?
In Fresno.
Huh?
I can't make it.
What?
I can't make it.
All right. I was going to invite you. You sure?
Friday I'm in Chicago doing something. I would love to. I can't.
Yeah?
I gotta get
I'm going
to
have fun.
Of course you will.
Yeah.
Matt Sarah.
How far is Fresno from fucking LA? Far.
3.5 hours walk.
Oh, fuck it. That's serious. How far is that? It's far?
I have no idea.
Do you know?
I'm not familiar with it.
You can map quest it.
How far is that? Could you find that out for me?
Sure.
Rogan hit me up the other day out of the blue. What a great guy.
Yes, he is.
I miss Joe Rogan.
All right, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, what did we leave? We're ending it?
Oh, well, yeah. Unless you want to keep.
All right, Jimmy. Are you going on the train with me?
Of course I am.
Okay, Jimmy.
We'll have Zach next time.
Yeah, it looks like a 3 hour, maybe 4 hour drive. Not 3 hour drive, something like that.
Looks like I'm not doing the Rowan experience. Maybe next time.
You should do it.
I know. Joe's like, man, next time you're in LA, come on, man. Come on the show. We'll catch up.
Yeah, Joe's a very
good
guy.
I know. I miss him.
He's a good egg. Maybe he has a new facility now, which he showed me.
I want to go there.
I do too. I want to stay there for a few days.
All I know is the UFC Institute. What do you call it? The Performance Institute?
Yes.
It's like the fucking. When I drove up to that thing, I felt like I was going to the Avengers Mansion.
Would they let me look at
that?
I want to go see
that. Avengers headquarters.
Can I go see
that? Remind me of the Avengers headquarters.
I want to go work out, you know, do a little cardio. Couple little curls.
I gotta get a tour. I was in there for like 2 seconds.
They'd let you show. They'd let you look around.
They'll let me do whatever the fuck I like. I'll say, I know Dana. Look on YouTube.
That's what I would say, and that's exactly how I'd say it if I just show a picture of me and the boss.
Yeah.
He didn't say any bad about me.
Jimmy, I think we're gonna be all right. I think we're gonna be
He didn't badmouth me?
Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
Well, why are you saying it like that now? Now I feel like.
I think Will, Jimmy, myself,
understandable.
And you will be all right.
Understandable.
I can't. You know.
Can't vouch for everybody.
Everybody in this room. But listen, guys, I had fun.
Yep.
I'm back. Thank you for listening to me about my first acting experience.
I'm happy for you.
Who'd you have to play? Myself. All right, well, it was not that great a big
deal. It's legit.
It is legit, Jimmy.
And thanks to Paul Felder for calling in another actor.
What a nice guy. Well, I'm not an actor, Jimmy.
You're an actor.
I'm an actor like I am a stand-up comic.
You're a comedian, actor, former fighter, podcast host, Matt Sarah.
I'm out there a bit.
That's what it should say in your bio. An all around good egg.
I'm a good egg, Jimmy.
Yes,
people
are.
Like me.
They do.
The director liked me in this thing.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe it's a whole different field for me. Maybe I could play myself in another movie.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think I got any other, you know, chomps?
Chops.
Fuck! Chomps.
Jimmy! You're thinking of pizza.
I'm hungry. All right, everybody. I guess this is goodbye.
See you Thursday.
See you soon.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.